book of Exodus, so I have a handout for that. Chapter 7, book of Exodus, chapter 7. So we're going to be Pauline here, picking it up with Exodus. That's the Old Testament book. Genesis, Exodus. Okay, we got that. Exodus chapter 7. So we've been going through this. This will be 7:14 following. All right. Sorry, I'm still going to preach the message. So 7:14 through 25. So you can be turning your Bible. So we have the account here of Lord using Moses and Aaron. So remember, Moses had five excuses why he couldn't be used of the Lord, and the Lord brushed them all aside. And the Lord's saying something like, is that the best you can do? So nobody can come up with an excuse for not serving the Lord. And so Moses had to learn that. Now he's learning more about the Lord. So is Aaron. So are the Jews. So is Pharaoh. And so are Pharaoh's people. All right, so we're in 7:14 following. And so the scripture says here, and the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go. Now, the Lord didn't give up on his message, so we go all the way back to chapter 4, and the Lord gave Moses a message. You need to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And the Lord told Moses right away, he's going to harden his heart. So we notice that back there in 4:1. Start off 4:1. 4:21, notice the Lord said to Moses, after Moses eloquently says he's not eloquent, verse 21, and the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And so, sure enough, he was supposed to preach the message, but Pharaoh hardened his heart. And so the Lord had a plan involved here. And so he didn't change his plan of Moses going, speaking to Pharaoh and so on. But what the Lord wanted to do was something greater than just to deliver the Jews, and that was to challenge Pharaoh and the Egyptians about who Jehovah was, that he's greater than any of the deities of Egypt, and giving them all an opportunity to repent and believe. So the Lord died for all. He died for the Jews. He died for the Egyptians. He died for Pharaoh. And he gave them a tremendous opportunity to see who the Lord was and to repent of their sins and be saved. In fact, some did, because we're told there in Scripture that there's a mixed multitude that went with the Jews into the wilderness. All right, so thus far in the book, as I mentioned here in the commentary, thus far the Lord had been preparing the deliverer, Moses. So the Lord had to work with Moses. You're going to be the deliverer. No, I'm not going to be. Yes, you are. You're going to be the deliverer, so you go. And so we have all the ins and outs of Moses having to be prepared to be the deliverer. And that's what the Lord does as well. He prepares us for the future. He prepares us for this life and for the future to come. And so whatever background you have, knowledge and whatever, he can all use all of that for serving him. Even if some of it may have been background in the before you were saved, He can still use that training and experience that you've had for His glory as you use it for the Lord. So He's the one who gives us a background, right? All right, then now the turning point of the narrative was to prepare Pharaoh for the deliverance. So we're dealing with the preparation for the deliverer and the deliverance. Moses needed to learn that Jehovah was the deliverer, and Pharaoh needed to learn about the coming deliverance. And so this is where the rest of Exodus goes for a while. So he began to draw out the plagues, so everyone, Moses, Israel, Egypt, and Pharaoh, would know the divine judgment fell on Egypt and her deities, and that Moses was indeed the deliverer, and that Israel would be willing to enter into a spiritual relationship with God. So this is what the Lord wanted. So when he delivered them, remember there in Exodus chapter 19, what the Lord said, in Exodus chapter 19, verse 1, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. And the Lord begins to say to them, I've delivered you, that's verse 4. And now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all my people, above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. All right, so that's what he wanted. The people said there in verse 8, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. That was short-lived. All right, so nevertheless, the Lord had a plan for them. He's going to accomplish his plan, and he accomplishes his plan through the efforts of Satan to try to thwart it, and to the effort of man to try to thwart it, and even to through the effort of even Christians that may try to thwart it. He's going to accomplish his plan. And so he is going to use the plagues. So he had a greater good in mind here, rather than just Moses, or Moses and Aaron, or Moses and Aaron and the Jews. He had a greater purpose, and that was for the deliverance, but also the salvation for Egypt and all mankind. And so he began to draw out the plagues so everyone, Moses, Israel, Egypt, Pharaoh, would know that the divine judgment fell on Egypt and her deities, and that Moses was indeed the deliverer, and Israel would be willing to enter into a spiritual relationship. So that's what we just talked about. Next point there, the Lord predicted, Pharaoh's heart was hardened and not ready to let the people go. And so here we have this resistance. Now who's going to win in this resistance? Man going to win? Well, how did it work out with Moses when he resisted? Lord said, no, you're going to go. And how did it work out when Pharaoh resisted and hardened his heart? Eventually, he wanted them to leave. Get out of here before everybody, all the firstborn are killed. All right, so now we mentioned here before that in the word deliver, or kosak, is the Hebrew word there. Not deliver, but the word hardened, kosak, is has to do with being strong either in unbelief or in faith. So the same word that's used for Pharaoh hardening his heart was used for Joshua when the Lord told Joshua, be strong. Same Hebrew words. So everyone hardens their heart. Everyone hardens their heart either in unbelief or belief. We are to grow in faith, right? So as we grow in faith, we harden our heart or make our heart stronger in faith. And whereas others, when they're given revelatory truth and so on, they reject it. They harden their heart in unbelief. So we all harden our heart. And the Lord gives us opportunity to harden our heart. So when it says the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, he gave him opportunity. So Pharaoh, I'm giving you opportunity. You can let the people go or you're not. You can see what I'm going to do here, and you can either believe it or reject it. You can either believe me or you call up magicians, but I'm going to harden your heart with this opportunity, and you have to do something with it. Either harden your heart in unbelief and reject me and what I'm trying to do, or harden it in belief. He apparently died with a hardened heart in unbelief. And yet Moses needed to have his hardened heart in hardened in faith. And so he took on the task eventually, as we see here. And so did Joshua. He hardened his heart. He got made his heart stronger. He went to the promised land for deliverance. So anyway, we come back here, and next point here, 15:16. So the Lord says, "Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out into the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink. Against he come, and the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand. And thou shalt say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear." So in all this, the Lord knew the pattern of Pharaoh to wash daily in the sacred water. So the Nile was sacred water. And the Nile deity here was, I think it's pronounced Happy here, H-A-P-I. But that was the Egyptian's name for the deity of the Nile. So remember, they were polytheistic. Everything had a deity. Everything had a deity. So the Nile had a deity. So they had to appease Happy here in order for the Nile to flourish and feed them with water, so on and so forth. And so he wanted to go down. So the Lord knew his daily routine. He goes down to the Nile to wash in the sacred water of the Nile and get cleansed and so on. So this is important for them. And so he knew Pharaoh's routine. By the way, he knows our routine. He knows our routine as well. And anyway, so Moses was to confront Pharaoh at the edge of the river, the Nile, with his rod. He gave the purpose, the message, and the rebuke for this morning visit. So he go down there. Moses, got to get up early, go down there to the Nile. This is where Pharaoh's going to be. And he gave him his purpose and the message and rebuke for his morning visit. He had been sent by God Jehovah of the Hebrews to challenge Pharaoh with the imperative, "Let my people go." That's the message. Let my people go. Since he rejected the first request back there in chapter 5. So now we have another request. Moses states here, the Lord in his grace. Now notice this, the Lord in his grace gave Pharaoh the opportunity to harden in unbelief or faith. So I mentioned this throughout. The Lord is gracious. So Pharaoh, give me an opportunity. I'm going to give you an opportunity. You either need to believe me or not believe me. But here's an opportunity, Pharaoh. Now you've been worshiping the deity of the Nile. And I'm going to challenge all this because the plagues were to destroy the deities of the Egyptians, undermine the deities. All right, and so we see the Lord's gracious throughout Scripture here. 17 through 18. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Remember, he gives that name back there in 6:3. 6:3, he says in and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, El Shaddai. But by the name Jehovah was I not known to them. Now, they didn't know the name Jehovah very clearly, but they didn't know that Jehovah also meant the great deliverer. So they're going to find out the name Jehovah means the great deliverer. And so he goes to them, thou shalt know that I am the Lord. By the way, we can learn that lesson too. He's the great deliverer. He delivers us from our challenges as we go to him in prayer, right? He's the great deliverer. And he's going to deliver us from where we were on our way to, that's hell as an unbeliever, to now heaven. He's the great deliverer. He says, behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. So Moses was to go there and give the message. Now the Lord would ultimately be doing this through Moses here. So think of Moses as he has to give this. Has he ever experienced that before? No, but he has to believe the message. He has to stand by the message there, and so on. So, with the commentary here, with this his warning, Moses prophesied the immediate result that the Nile would be turned to blood, the fish would die, the river would stink, the Nile water would be impotable, undrinkable. All right. Further, happy would not be happy. Anyway. All right, had to wake up back row. Come on. This was a supernatural miracle and not just coincidence. We're in the natural cycle phenomenon of red soil washing in from the other streams occurred at the exact time. Now, that's the way the liberals look at this, that it's just coincidental. These are all coincidental. No, they're not. They're supernatural miracles. And so we see the fact that it would be turned to blood. And so 18, and the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe the drink of the water of the river. 17:18. this was a supernatural miracle and not just a coincidence. All right. The water became blood. So the Hebrew word behind blood is D-A-M, dam, found 361 times in the Old Testament. So it's translated of blood. So we're talking about blood. Just as the Lord Jesus changed the water into wine. Remember that? John chapter 2. Now that was grape juice. As I mentioned that, because Habakkuk says, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. So the Lord didn't turn and give alcohol to the family of the wedding, because he'd be violating his own word. And so woe. It's a woe to give alcohol to anyone. So there's a woe. God gives a woe on bartenders. Did you know that? Bartenders are under the woe of God. All right, so then in 19 and 20, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying unto Aaron, take thy rod. So the Lord speaks to Moses. Moses takes to Aaron. And Aaron, take that rod, stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon the streams, and upon the rivers, and upon the ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in the vessels of wood and in the vessels of stone. So not just the Nile, but any water supply is going to be turned to blood. And so, say that you either believe that something supernatural happened, or you sort of ask questions. So how can that happen? How can this happen? How can it even turn water in a vessel? The blood, especially if his rod doesn't touch that, it's going to touch all of the water. All right, so since water was the source for life and daily living, the Egyptians would recognize that happy was helpless. So happy's not happy, and happy is helpless. So we're dealing with happy here. Happy's going to be sad. So. Put that in your notes. All right. So the plague lasted at least 7 days. If you look there at the last verse in the chapter, and 7 days were fulfilled. After that, the Lord had smitten the river. So he smote the river, and 7 days were fulfilled. So how long can you live without water? You can't live 7 days without drinking water. And so that was a real effort there. For them, And so they'd be wondering, where is our deity? Where is our deity? Where is the deity of the Nile? All right, so we look in this. So verse 19, he takes the rod. Take thy rod and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon the streams, and so on. We have this listing here. Then in verse 20, and Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. So it's happening right there in the water that he's in. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. All right, so in this section, we have a miracle occurs, and then 21, 22, the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink in the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. So here, the predicted results occurred with dead fish and stinking water, as blood replaced water throughout Egypt. Now, during the tribulation time, so we can look there in Revelation 11:6 and following, the second and third vial judgments, which in Revelation 6 called plagues, will change water into blood on the seas and rivers for men to drink, since they that have shed the blood of saints. That's in Revelation 16. So these are plagues, Revelation 11, but in Revelation 16 we can turn there and notice in the vial judgments, 16:3, the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And then again in verse 6, and they that have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Now, drinking blood, number one, would be distasteful, literally. But notice also that it would be in violation of what the Lord told Noah and his family, chapter 9. So notice there in chapter 9, after the flood, the Lord told Noah and his family here, they could eat meat. It's 9:4, but the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, ye shall not eat. So mankind is not to eat blood. And so what's the Lord doing? He is causing mankind during the tribulation, who has rejected him, to sin even further against the law. It's causing him to sin further against the law. You've killed the saints and shed their blood, so I'm going to have you drink blood. All right, so that's what the Lord prophesied there. All right, so they would be, since they're involved during the tribulation, since they're involved in rebellion against the Lord. All right, I'll give you another thing about which to rebel, drinking blood. all right, so this occurred, and so Pharaoh called his magicians. So we see that, verse 22. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. So he calls the magicians, did so, the scripture says. And so Pharaoh called his magicians to reduplicate the miracle turning water into blood. Now, this is brilliant. But there's no evidence they actually did that. But anyway, so he wants to show, well, my magicians can do this as well. All right, so wait a minute. Why do you need more water turned into blood? Think this through a little bit. So we don't know if they did, but at least he wanted them to do this. Why didn't they turn blood into water? If you're magic, turn the blood back into water. Anyway, nevertheless, the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. It's hardened in unbelief. He did not hearken to the duo. Notice in verse 22, it says, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord had said. In that 22. All right, so he didn't listen to them. And so, sure enough, turned to blood. Then 23 through 25, and Pharaoh turned and went into his house. Neither did he set his heart to these things. He didn't even want to think about it. I don't know what happened, but I'm just going to my house. I'm just going to get under the covers or something. I lay in a fetal position. I don't know, but it just goes to his house. And verse 24, and all the Egyptians digged around about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled, and the Lord had smitten the river. So in this commentary part, the king rejected divine judgment, went home, did not contemplate the miracle. There's no potable water available in the Nile, so the Egyptians had to dig for subterranean water, apparently, to find uncontaminated water to drink. So whether it was bloodless or not, maybe it was, had blood as well, at least there's no dead fish in it. So, I mean, drinking blood is bad enough, but drinking blood with fish in it, can you imagine that? So, watch out for your rare steaks, right? Anyway. All right. So no dead fish in the water. They had to sin. They had sin by consuming blood. Now, the Egyptians had to do extensive manual labor all over Egypt to obtain substantial water. So wait a minute, who's doing the labor all of a sudden? Because the water plague didn't affect the Jews up there in the Delta area, in Goshen, didn't affect them. The plagues didn't affect them, it affected the Egyptians. So anyway, the Egyptians have to look for this subterranean water supply, and they had to dig around. So they're the ones doing all the manual labor. And apparently the Jews there in Goshen, they sit back, they're watching, everybody's digging the land. We got a break. We got a vacation. Anyway, and the miracle lasted at least a week, threatening the very population of Egypt. The plague did not affect the Jews. A secondary thought, now think of this, a secondary thought occurs since the Lord Jesus Christ is the water of life. He's the water of life, right? And so he says that in John 4:14 to the woman there. Upon his first, upon his rejection, he will take away water who rejects him. So you think of that, the rich man in Hades, what was he crying for? Water. In his life, he rejected the water of life, so in hell, he doesn't have any water. And when the Lord was on earth, he was the light of the world. Those that reject the light of the world, they'll go to the darkness of hell. There'll be no light. You don't want light, you don't want water, okay, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. And Revelation 16, I read that already. They were drinking the blood. So notice how Revelation ends. See, so here's the message. Here's the message in Revelation chapter 22. Notice how the Lord, through John's writings here, ends the book of Revelation in 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. In this life, you better take of the water of life freely, because in the next life, if you don't, you're not going to have any water. All right, so there's the strong judgment here. And this is a precursor to that the Egyptians didn't have any water. They had blood. And so the Lord gives them a dose of this. So we see what the Lord was doing here and trying to get the attention of Pharaoh, but he was hard-hearted. So we had to have 9 other plagues following this, and finally he's ready to release them. So here's the bigger picture of what the Lord's doing. Not just helping Moses out, or Aaron out, or the Jews out, but trying to bring about salvation to the Egyptians as well, and hardening their heart either in unbelief or belief, as well as Moses. You think Moses' heart was hardened in faith? Sure it was. Remember, he was faithless. I can't do this. Now his heart's going to be hardened in faith. And the Jews as well, they're going to believe Moses. Moses, by the time this is all done, the Jews are going to be sent out by Pharaoh, and they're going to go out with a great deal of wealth as well. And by then they'll be saying, amen, Moses. We believed you all the time. No, not really, but amen, this is great. And so we see the Lord's blessing and working here in Egypt and in Moses' life. And so this is where, I remember, in Acts, Paul picked up with Moses, went all the way down to John the Baptist. And so here we're looking at some of the minutia, right? But this is important minutia. Paul didn't bring all this in, but he had a bigger message to preach. But we see the value of the Scriptures here. The Scriptures, the Old Testament prepares the way for the New Testament. Can't understand the New Testament without understanding the Old Testament. It's all preparatory. Same God who wants us to trust Him in all aspects of life. Our Father, we pray that you bless us. We thank you for these Scriptures at hand. We pray that you'll use the Word of God, deal with hearts and lives, and work as in our lives. We attempt to serve Thee here. We thank Thee for the blessings that we have in Christ, in salvation, and sanctification, and the knowledge of the Word of God, and the opportunity to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Pray that you bless us now, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.